Good morning. It's time for chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Galatians chapter 3, verses 15 through 22. The Reverend Dr. Mark Wood is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Our reading this morning is from the third chapter of Galatians. To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by the promise. But God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Why then the law? It was added because of transgression, until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made. And it was put in place with angels by an intermediary. Now, an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No doubt you heard the news last month about Jeffrey Epstein's life ending tragically in a jail cell in New York. Epstein, who was a multimillionaire, extremely wealthy man, had been arrested for very serious charges, and he was not somebody you really wanted to be associated with publicly. So imagine the surprise that Boris Nikolic had. You may have never heard of Boris. He's an immunologist and biotech entrepreneur. He's one of those people who runs around in Bill Gates' circles. He was named in Jeffrey Epstein's will as the backup executor of his estate. Boris said, I don't know the man. I don't want anything to do with this, and I refuse to carry out these responsibilities. But the fact of the matter was, Epstein's will had been ratified, and Boris, like it or not, had been included in his will, and there was no breaking that. The news is there's an inheritance, and Boris really didn't want any part of any of that. Well, the news for us today is there's an inheritance for us as well, and we didn't ask to be included in this inheritance. Instead, it came by a promise, as we hear in today's scripture reading, a promise that was made many, many years ago, a covenant of grace that God ratified with our father Abraham, a covenant of grace. Now, the law came, as we heard today, 430 years later, but that law cannot make the promise void. God had ratified that covenant, and if a covenant made by human beings cannot be made void after the fact, certainly a covenant made by our God cannot be made void after the fact. So why then the law? That's the question the scripture puts before us in today's reading. Why then the law? It must have a purpose, otherwise God would not have given it. Well, yes, the law does have a purpose. And any good confirmation student would know right away the three uses of that law that speak to its purpose. The curb, the mirror, and the guide. There you go. We got it. We've answered the question. Well, yes, but it's really kind of superficial to answer the question that way. We do well to dig a little bit deeper. Why the law? Well, it's a curb. You know, it's meant to restrain evil in our fallen world, and yet we see that that curb has less and less impact in our culture as people embrace all sorts of depravity, the depravity for which Jeffrey Epstein had become infamous, depravity that goes beyond even our corrupt imaginations. It seems like the curb of the law has little impact in our world today. Then there's that mirror. And that mirror shows plenty when we look into it. But it seems that we're not so eager to look into that mirror anymore. Oh, we take those quick little glimpses, and it shows enough, we think. Most of us will not stand before that mirror and look intently into it. Oh, we prefer our preachers to kind of gloss over that whole "we're sinners" part. You know, yeah, we all know we're sinners. That's good. Let's get to the good stuff. And we prefer the law to be more practical. You know, give me some ideas on how to make my life better. Give me some advice from the law on what I need to do to resolve the issues in my life, the problems in my relationships, the ways I'm falling short of having my best life now. Don't park me in front of the mirror of the law and make me look for long. I've seen enough. And then a guide? We have so many other guides in our lives right now. We love to take our cues from the world and follow those ways that seem so pleasing, that seem more relevant to life in the 21st century. Yet despite our misuse and our neglect of the law, it still stands. It still has a purpose. As we read in today's text, the purpose is not to contradict the promises of God. Those promises were ratified when God swore an oath by himself. And God does not lie. Indeed, God cannot lie. He promised an offspring, a seed, that would do what the law could not do. See, the law could not give life. Well, every once in a while we hear a clever preacher talk about the two ways that we can be saved. That one of them being if we kept the law perfectly. But the reality is that's simply theoretical. There are not two ways to be saved. The scripture says today, if a law had been given that could give life. For no law was given. The law that was given is a law that cannot bring us life. It serves a different purpose. And the purpose of the law is to imprison everything, everyone. To imprison you, to show you the depth of your sins. It's to make it very clear that you were hopelessly captive to death. It's to cause you to completely despair of any thought that you are good. It's to take away the basis of comparing yourself to other people. To look around and say, well, compared to Jeffrey Epstein, I'm not such a bad person. Compared to my neighbor, I'm pretty good. No, it's to take that all away and put before you God's standard of what is good. To put you in the light of his holiness and expose all of your unrighteousness. To dispel you of any thought that you have even the slightest hint of any righteousness of your own. The purpose of the law is to convict and condemn you. It's to drive you to the depths of what we said in Psalm 32, For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Yes, the law is to turn you away from yourself, your fruitless efforts, your erring thoughts, to turn you away from all that to the promise. Because yes, dear Christian friends, the good news is the promise stands. The promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe, the scripture tells us. It tells us that there was an intermediary who brought the law, and that intermediary brought with that law death. But now there's an intercessor who confirms the promise and frees us from the condemnation of the law. And this intercessor, the offspring, the seed, brings us life. So why then the law? Why the law if the seed has come? Why the law if he's brought us life? Well, we're told today that it was added because of transgressions. It was added until the offspring, the seed, should come. And Christ has come. He's come to bear the burden of the law for you. He's come to satisfy the demands of the law that you could not keep. He came to suffer the punishment that the law demands so that you would never have to. The seed, the promise, the offspring has come to give you his righteousness, to fulfill both the law and the promise. You see, he has not abolished the law still stands. So why then the law? So that we, like Boris, would be continually shocked that we've been included, not in some man's will, but in a covenant of grace that the Lord ratified with our father Abraham. The law stands to make the promise shine brightly in the darkness of our sinful world, so that you would never be lost in that darkness again. The law stands for you to rejoice with the psalmist and all who throughout the ages, generation after generation of believers, who have echoed his words in our liturgy. I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. And yes, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the seed, the offspring, the promise has come, and he has forgiven the iniquity of all your sin. Amen. Now may the peace of God guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Joel Geese, who is deployed. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.